Because they're working up in the studio here. They're working on pitching some ideas for a show.
Yep.
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? What's your name?
I'm Casey Ballard from Caro, New York.
Casey Ballard from Caro, New York. And what's yours?
Logan Keown from Rensselaerville.
Logan Keown. Is that K-E-O-W-N?
No, it's K-U-H-N.
K-U-H-N. Oh, Keown. So it's more German and not Irish.
Right, German.
Okay, gotcha. And you're from where?
Rensselaerville, New York.
Rensselaerville. Where's that again?
It's South Albany County, Southwest.
Oh, okay. It's probably in Rensselaer County.
No, Albany.
Oh, it's in Albany. Darn it. Good
Not
guess,
to be
I
confused
thought.
With Rensselaer.
All right. So this is the Ramones just finishing up Bonzo Goes to Bitburg. You know who Bonzo is?
Never
Ronald heard. Reagan. He was, when he was a movie actor, he played, I never saw it, but apparently I think he played a character named Bonzo. Dead Time for Bonzo. That was it. Here we go. Okay, on this VE Day, that's Bonzo Goes to Bitburg. That has to do with Ronald Reagan, who visited the graves. So speaking of World War II, he went and visited the graves of Germans when he was visiting Germany in Bitburg. And it was controversial because several of the graves he visited were those of SS officers. Do you know who the SS is? Probably. You guys are 21, so you did have U.S. and world history, I would assume. But anyways, tell me a little bit about what you guys are thinking for a show.
Well, mainly we're looking at how we can relate national news to local news and really just trying to give our viewers and the people in our area a really good picture of how the national politics affects our local politics and where all our local politicians stand and just to hold our local politicians more accountable and give our community a better sense of who's running our towns.
Gotcha.
Well put.
Is that what you had in mind,
that
too?
That about sums it up for me.
Yeah, just talk right on in, kind of get a little close and personal with these little microphones there.
Got to get right up on it.
And when you talk local politics, you're talking about like in Caro, and that's a small town, sort of, kind of, like smaller than Hudson, about the same size as Hudson, maybe?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit smaller, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you know the
mistaken.
Population?
I believe it's around 6,000, I want to say.
That's about the same as Hudson.
A little bit less.
Can you believe this place? It's like 7,000 people.
It's crazy.
Do you know what the population was at the turn of the century here? About so I've been told like 30. No, it's been like 30 just in the little, you know,
really?
Hudson is like 30,000, and it just went down and has really? Never
oh,
came 30, back.
Oh, 30,000. I thought you meant 30. Wow, I didn't know that was
30,
that big.
30,000 people.
Good area.
Yeah. So if you think about it, that's an interesting. So all the people left that used to live here that made this city, right? And then they never came back.
Why not?
There's nothing going on
jobs.
Until the last, whatever, 5 years.
And there's still nothing going on.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of people here, but you go try to find work. Actually, that's not true. There's a lot of work. You guys are in the trades?
Yes, carpentry.
Yeah? Yeah, I did a lot of carpentry in Hudson for like a decade. And it was like, if you didn't find work, you were probably kind of doing something wrong. I'm not sure how it is right now because I know a lot of outside companies have been coming in with like these huge crews that come from places like all over the place, you know, a lot of immigrant labor too has been coming in.
Well, I've noticed a lot because I did fencing last year and we a lot, like 90% of our work was in Columbia County. But I noticed the majority of the landowners we worked for, you know, farmers and stuff, a lot of them were up from the city. I've noticed a lot of more people coming from the city and trying to start, you know, their after career lives up here and, you know, opening their own businesses and stuff. So.
Yeah. But I guess the reason why the population hasn't really increased also is because a lot of these people are only part-time owners, so maybe they're not counted in the census because maybe they're in New York City and
up
that's where they
vote.
Up for
the weekend.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if they're weekenders or part-time people, then they're not really residents. So it looks like there's a lot of people, and if you come here Thursday through Sunday, it's nuts. Have you ever seen this place? It's crazy.
Yeah,
there's like thousands of people, but none of them are residents. That used to be like every day used to be like that. People shopping, working, selling stuff, trades, small stores, like local economy. That was 100 years ago.
Right.
It's changed. So anyway, that's interesting. So I've been sort of dominating and talking here, but I want to hear a little bit more how local politics are affected by national politics.
It's more just the fact that all the people specifically just the regular citizens, are really concerned with what's going on nationally and either bashing or loving the president because that's what they see every day when they turn on their news. Meanwhile, the only people who are affecting their everyday lives are the local politicians who have almost no accountability and who don't stay true to their constituents who elect them and have no real responsibility almost as to what they need to accomplish in their terms and really anything along those lines. They're just serving, I mean, taking up a place.
So,
really.
So you're saying they should be bashing their local politicians as much?
As much as they're willing to bash their president, yeah.
Yeah. So are you saying all politicians are scumbags? Is that what you came on here to do? Come on.
Don't ask me those hard questions.
That's tough. I told you it might get controversial in here. So we try to go easy because there are human beings out there, I do want to say, that also are politicians. There's,
right.
There's like three. I think, out of like a million.
That might be a little high.
There might be a couple out there that are human beings. You know, we try to keep it civil here on Community Radio and give everyone a chance. I do have to say, as a host, as a show host, we definitely come down a little bit hard on the politicians and the folks that tend to take away from the common working folks or from... You know, just quality of life as we know it. So you guys like to go fishing or hunting or whatever?
Yeah, both. Mm-hmm.
You know? Both. And like pollution and taking away of conservation land or state lands or prohibiting freedom to do things like some people like to hike, some people like to snowshoe, some people like to hunt. It's all in those same, you know, public lands. It's taken away from the public, you know? Mm-hmm. You can think what you want about killing animals. That's irrelevant to what I'm trying to say is that there's always a national trend when there's big money and corporate politics coming in. It always ends up taken away from the little guy.
Exactly. Right.
And that's kind of how I feel. And it goes on both sides of the coin. So I'd be curious to know more about what you guys come up with. There's also, you know, national politics affecting the local funding.
Another thing we really want to, I guess, promote is really just having people call in and, you know, like having local politicians on our shows so that we can have, you know, those Q&A sessions where, you know, we have, you know, our regular citizens calling in and asking our local politicians questions, you know, things that they want to have done or things they want to hear or know where they stand. Because I feel like local politicians, and I've only voted in one local election, so I can't, you know, I can't really give too much of what I have to say, but, you know, I just feel like local elections per se are more popularity based, you know, rather than actually looking at what someone stands for and what they actually want to accomplish during their term in office. Mm. So I feel like it's really just learning about our politicians' platforms and really knowing where they stand, because I feel like it's something that's missed out a lot in local politics.
Another thing that I think I kind of want to bring to the table is just seeing it in my own small town is I want to know why there's so much politics being played almost, why it's not so much about trying to get things accomplished in our own small towns. I mean, I know my town has a population of 1,800 people, which is tiny compared to how big the town itself is. But I want to know why it's more of a game of who hates who or who doesn't like who instead of accomplishing something for all the people who are paying taxes and giving that person a salary to have that office.
Hmm.
And
because small town politics, it's tribal,
right?
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Even in Hudson, you got 7,000 people, but the politics in Hudson are tribal. It's what tribe you're affiliated with, and political parties almost actually don't even mean anything when you get to a little small town. Like I actually lived down in Dutchess County, where the Republicans were endorsing one of the Democrats for whatever, and everyone was in all in agreement, and. And even like the Democrats were voting for some Republican. It was just, it's like
right.
The national politics go out the door when it comes to these small towns because it's who you're affiliated with, which is good in some ways also. But then it's also a little bit bad because it's like who's more popular, like who does their makeup better.
Yeah, at a certain point. It kind of like brings down those party lines and sets up its own lines, you know.
It's at a certain point, you have to stay true with your party lines because that's what the people who voted you in wanted.
Right.
And that's what you don't really see as much in the small, you know, the small politics, small towns.
Hmm. Well, that's really fascinating that you guys were even interested in this, because most kids your age, I don't really think give a crap about.
And like, that's something we want to change.
Like, yeah, they'd rather just go out and protest, skip school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that can work too. You know, at least you're doing something, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least you're doing something. But what do you think the number one problem is in politics today?
Personal greed. I would say people have too much to gain personally that they don't care about what the other people are losing as they get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably one of the biggest problems.
I'd have to agree, especially on a local level. I'd have to agree with him on that.
You don't think national folks too? I mean, look at our two presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Are they like both of them like the example of like generosity and giving?
Well, I don't know where you stand with our current president. I'm a big fan, though. So
I'm just. You said personal greed,
right?
And I'm just wondering if you're able to extend that observation, which I actually agree with. I agree with you. I'm wondering if you're able to extend that observation to people who you might agree with politically, but
I think it's hard to put our president in a category of really showing personal greed at this point, especially now that he's the president, because he really can't gain all that much from it, per se. I mean, he does have his businesses and whatnot, but I mean,
he did fund his own campaign as well. His whole campaign was funded by himself, so I mean, he's not...
Right.
It's not... But he has nothing
really
to gain.
Do you see no conflict of interest with some of his business ties and the legislations he's proposing that would then benefit his business ties? You don't see a conflict?
I think it would benefit other businesses, not just his own.
Sure.
And I think that's the way he's looking at it, and people can bash it however they want, but I think in the grand scheme of things, he's trying to benefit all businesses, not just his own. And he will benefit because of it, because his family has his businesses. But in turn, other businesses are going to benefit as well.
Okay, so, wow.
Our country is just so beyond overregulated. That's one of the one of the reasons why, like you said, there's nothing going on in Hudson. Mm-hmm. There's nothing going on in these small towns. I drove up from South Carolina, the very bottom of South Carolina, to back to New York a couple weeks ago, and we took the back way down. It was up Highway 15, which is just a double lane road, and it went through every small town. And the whole way through the country, you would see an abandoned factory that would probably be maybe 100,000 square feet. Then after, a mile or two after, you'd hit a small town and there would be nothing. It would be closed gas stations, closed emergent care, vacant houses. It's just businesses can't survive when our country is regulated the way it is. It's not meant for businesses. It's meant for corporations.
Right,
you know?
Because do you know where all those businesses went?
Overseas.
That's right.
Somewhere where there's no regulation.
And do you know why?
Because they can do it for cheaper. They can regulate their currency. They can.
Right, and then what does that result in? Bigger profits, right?
Right. Well, I guess
So if you look at the profits of the companies that benefit by taking away work from the American people, it is actually really screwing us pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the gap growing between the richest and the poorest. Unprecedented gap of wealth in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The tax level for the rich has gone from, I mean, it was like 75% under Reagan. Reagan would have been okay with a level of taxes that today's conservatives actually would just spit on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but what you have as a result, and you have a polarization in this country of the gap between the wealthy and the poor, I think it causes concern for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you guys are concerned about the wealthiest billionaire class actually running this country.
Well, not at all, because the same people that you complain about running this country are also the same that are creating jobs for thousands of people.
And the other thing I would want to say is, you know, like you were mentioning, the high corporate tax rate and the high regulations. And what people don't seem to understand is that when the government puts those in place, these high taxes and these high regulations, they think they're like, a lot of people our age especially really think that this is a good thing. Like, we're taking, you know, we're taking taxing more money from these wealthy billionaires, but they what they don't think about is the up-and-coming businesses that are failing because of these increased tax rates, because of these increased regulations. These people that would be making, you know, more and more money every year, but they're suppressed by our government.
Or those the billionaires who let's say are running businesses that get hit with these regulations or these fines, and instead of just dealing with it, they'll just say, well, why not just lay off 1,000 people or lay off 100 people, and that covers the cost of our fines or the extra regulations that we're going to have to go through. And, you know, like the whole thing with Startup New York, that's like, not to get off the topic here, but they're offering tax incentives for 10 years for new businesses, tax-free. Any new business that comes to New York, manufacturing, and it has to be a startup or whatever. But we saw it happen just in East Durham with GlaxoSmithKline and Stiefel's taking over the old Stiefel factory, and they're getting tax benefits from it, even though there's actually less people working at the plant than there was when the old owners owned it. So there's actually less people being employed, even though it's a new company that now they're getting the tax benefits.
And do you know what that company does?
Makes toothpaste and soaps and stuff.
I think they make drugs and pretty horrible chemicals that gets kids hooked on it, which sends them off to heroin and all sorts of other stuff. The pharmaceutical industry is not necessarily an industry that I would put a lot of faith and confidence in reviving your local economy.
I don't think so either.
But such is the way of life, where you have the mega corporations getting bigger and wealthier, laying off more people. And I'm going to have to disagree with you guys, because I really appreciate that you're actually taking a stand here and like interested in the politics, and you want to actually be involved and be critical on the local level. But I really believe that the billionaires running the country are not here to benefit the working man. I do strongly believe that they are in it to line their own pockets, because this is what they've done for their entire lives.
If they've
made a living out of it. And if you look at the history of Trump and the amount of people he hasn't even paid, like, we don't even need to go there. We don't even need to talk about Trump as a character or what he did with his businesses or whatever. I'm just talking more of the general trend, because this goes to local politics and this goes to national. And most people I talk to, whether they're conservative, whatever, most people, they don't even want to vote, because they're like, look, it's just the rich and, you know, corrupt politicians are pretty much running the whole show.
I guess you could say that most of the CEOs of these large companies are out to protect the shareholder, and that's a serious problem that we do have, because they're not worried about their employees. They're worried about making sure that their company looks profitable on almost a made-up spectrum, you know what I mean? But I don't know. When you think about it, those people that are creating those jobs allow someone else to have a life where they don't depend on the government, where they can make a good living, and then they go in turn and spend money at a small business, which creates, you know, it creates growth of the middle class by those wealthy people turning someone's life who may not have a job, who may be living below the poverty line, bringing them up above the poverty line by creating a job for them. Whether it's, you know, their home run job or not, it still gets the economy moving, and that's why you know, that's why they're a value to the economy.
Well, if you look at like Sam Walton, the richest man in the world, opens up a Walmart. Say they open up a Walmart in Rensselaerville, 1,000 jobs get created, you get a whole bunch of people off of welfare, now they're working for Walmart. Well, the problem is that they still need federal assistance to support a family on that income, that actually it's not helping. And so in a way, it's actually supporting by giving people welfare and who are working, you're actually supporting the corporation.
This is going to turn back into the whole $15 an hour.
No, I wasn't even going there. I wasn't even going to minimum wage. I'm just saying that the reality is, when you get what you get as an employee of Walmart, you can't live on it. So you have to get income from somewhere else, right?
Personally.
So most Walmart employees, therefore, get government assistance. So what I'm saying is that it's a roundabout way. Now, there's a lot of other corporate welfare that goes to Walmart directly on some other tax break levels, but I'm talking about directly on a wage level. By supporting the employees of Walmart, you're actually subsidizing a system.
There's also nothing saying that these employees at Walmart can't go out and get another job.
Right, or move up the ladder.
Except there might not be any other jobs.
And they can move up the ladder as well.
But you said earlier, there's no shortage of work. And the trades are always looking for people.
If you're a carpenter or lucky enough to have the skills to know how to bang a nail and talk to people and be given a good fair shot at it, you know, For sure. But if you're unskilled labor, man, oof, some tough. There's a lot of you guys graduating high school now with, like, you guys are lucky you know how to bang a nail because you will be able to have something to fall back on.
Well, it was
on.
Something we had to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did you learn? Let's talk about that for a minute. Where did you learn?
I started when I was 8 years old working with my dad in the summers every summer since then. And then when
I started this year with them.
When I was 19, okay. I started full time.
So you guys, how'd you guys meet? Because those are two
very
different.
We've been good friends since middle school, sixth grade.
Aren't those different places, though? Caro and Rensselaerville?
No, it's not very far.
Well, he grew up in Durham, so he went to the same school together.
Oh.
Caro Durham.
Gotcha. Uh-huh. Okay, so you guys work on a crew now together?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And where do you get jobs mostly? Greene County?
Mostly Albany, actually.
Ah, yeah. Where the good money is. Good right?
Capital.
Because there's actually businesses up there, places you don't know with stuff going on.
Yeah, so you guys are lucky, you're fortunate that you're in a position that you're able to do that, and I commend that.
The one thing, though, that growing up I've always felt is that if there's 7 days in a week, then you can work 7 days. And if you don't have enough, then you need to provide more for yourself. You can't expect. Yeah. That's the problem that
Yeah, I know, but it's also a typical myth, the bootstraps, the picking yourself up from your bootstraps myth, because have you ever been to an Indian reservation?
Just a Turning Stone, but I don't know.
Yeah, not the casino ones.
No, yeah.
If you ever been out west in Indian Reservation, or you've been to a community, been out there, well, you talked about it coming up here on Highway 15. You go through communities where there's nothing. Say you're just a poor kid, not to mention, we won't even go into like color or whatever, or disadvantage or whatever. We'll just say you're a poor kid that grew up in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing. I mean, it's easy for you to say, maybe if you haven't experienced it, you can always just move out.
Have you been to Durham in a while? There's nothing.
There's nothing in Caro either.
Exactly. And you have a lot of people there probably on welfare.
Caro school district's like 86%.
Well, I don't actually know about the welfare rate over there.
Caro Durham actually qualify for free lunches this year because our town is so poor.
Yeah. I mean, Greene County in general is one of the poorest counties in New York State. So what you're saying is those kids growing up in Greene County grow up in a community where there's nothing. They can always just move out.
It's one-tenth the hand that you're dealt and nine-tenths how you play it.
Okay. Well, I like your resolve, but I do have to say that there are folks in –
Can I just say one more thing? Yeah, I think that's become the new norm of our country is that people have this almost entitlement where if they can't make enough money at their job, well, they're not going to change anything in their life. They're going to put it on someone else to support them when there's no reason why, whatever, for the past 2 years I worked 7 days a week and I don't see any reason why I should be at 21 years old working that much when someone else who's the same age as me doesn't feel like they need to. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to start, you know, cutting back on what we give to people who are able-bodied and people who think that, well, because I can't make enough at this job, I'm just not going to try anything else. Well, you need to try and promote yourself as well. I mean, if you make yourself worth more, people will pay you more.
You know, you make some good points, Logan, and you're very lucky to have a carpenter dad who's willing to teach you. So congratulations on that. And all of those out there who's 21 years old who have, like, no parents or whatever, you know, it's going to be rough. It's going
to
be rough.
I mean, I've taught myself a lot. I mean, I went to school. I dropped out of school. I've worked almost six jobs since I've dropped out of school, working hard. But, you know, I'm almost paid off a whole year of school already, and I'm not looking for any handouts. I know this, like, great country. There's great opportunity in this country. It's a big country. I could go anywhere in the world and work if I wanted to. There's nothing saying I can't.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, my dad and his twins started that company when they were 18 years old, and they came from a house, you know, with, you know, not enough food to feed nine kids that they had. With the two parents, both of his parents died by the time he was 24. So, I mean, it's not all about whether what your parents can do for you or what they can't do for you. It's about whether or not you have the drive inside you to make your own life better. Because that's the problem. Everyone's looking for someone else to do it for them.
Right. It's always good to also take a look at yourself and realize how blessed we are.
Right.
You know,
like, definitely.
It's like, you know, you look around and see what has been given to you. I mean, for some people, of course, maybe they were born in a dumpster and had to, like, go from there. But for a lot of us, if you have a functional family, people that love you and you have people that around you that have taught you skills and to cope in the world, then we're blessed. We're privileged.
Right.
Definitely.
It's good to remember that. So I'm going to go to a song, but Logan and Casey, right?
Yep.
Logan and Casey breaking it down here. Who would have thought? It is the Monday afternoon show. We're going to play a little Blaze Foley.